Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. After today, you'll understand why people other than Russ shouldn't be allowed in the pulpit. I have no merit that gains me this time. What I do have that might be helpful is confusion. I thought about what to say today and wrote a stunning logical treatise with three main points. Yeah, that was like a steel trap of erudite phraseology. And then my right brain snapped. See, I'm having a battle between my right brain and my left brain, and I've got only 20 minutes to work it out. So listen in to the psychotic workings of a confused person looking for God. My confusion started right here. Isn't that cute? We get to be like little children. That's so cute. Not on your life. I may act immature, but I'm not going to be a kid. I've worked too hard to get here, and so have you. I've practiced forever, and I'm not going to play like a beginner. You're not going to be a gopher in the company that you started. We've got a developed vocabulary that will shrivel the children who dare to play on our lawns. Unless you become as a child, what does that mean? I want my mommy to hold me on her lap and snuggle me and read me a story. I do want to be a child again, not just to rid of responsibility, but to be held and taken to a place of wonder and imagination and mystery and, I don't know. For me, childhood was full of play and fairy tales and fables and play and the mystery of Santa and laying on our backs and watching fluffy clouds and the Easter Bunny and watching anthills and elves and fearless play and... What else? What else do you remember? What else do you remember from your childhood? What?
Riding bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. I hope you all thought of something, unless we're too old. I am now an old guy. And I know. I don't know. When we were kids, we were part of something larger than we could imagine. Now, I analyze the clouds. I contain enthusiasm. I control anthills. I limit. As kids, we happily swam in the water of not understanding. But we rushed to grow up. I got me some education. I did. Yep. And now I know factual stuff, and I gather all that stuff I know and can touch all around me like a fortress, and I never venture out into creative, playful, childish imagination land. What good would that do to go out there? In my fortress, I have useful stuff that makes me knowledgeable and powerful and controlled and certain. We spend our time and energy on our reality. Why spend time on mystery, things we can't touch or control? Why play or daydream or roll down a hill or ride your bike as fast as possible or play or scrape your knee or listen to music? Why lay on our backs and watch those fluffy clouds? Why look at abstract art or hold a moonbeam or play? Why create a sculpture or poem or believe in miracles? Why flibbertigibbet or play in the sand, go for a ride, or eat too much ice cream? My grandson discovered that the Velcro on my sandals makes a cool sound when you take it off and put it on and take it off and put it on and take it off and put it on and take it off and put it on. He won't leave my feet alone. But none of those activities lead to money or power. I spend my time gaining concrete, serious, useful, conceptual knowledge. Now, we do need to be skilled in reality. Coming to a stop sign is not the time for creativity. In order to be in this society, we need to learn the rules, but I think we are imbalanced. We mainly use one kind of thinking, one part of our brain. What if we added the ability to dance with mystery? Our education system was started, what, 18-something, I don't know, to serve the Industrial Revolution. The most important things to learn were math and language and lineal ordered thinking, assembly line concepts, facts. They knew what folks needed to be a part of the Industrial Revolution, but now they say we need something different since we don't know what the fast future will bring. We need to learn to be creative so we can adjust to an ever-changing world. And here comes the heresy. Russ said I needed to have some heresy in this talk. Our churches might need to adjust. I wonder if church has been more influenced by society than the other way around. We spend our lives and our worship lives using our left brain. That's the research way back in the 70s that got started, that we have two halves to our brain and they do different stuff. We spend most of our time in things measurable, concrete, things with guaranteed outcome. If you follow the manual, you'll succeed and be rich and powerful and go to heaven. The tried and the true, looking for one right answer, agendas, control, timetables, certainty. We spend most of our time using our left brain. It's most useful in a left brain world. But we have become right brain challenged. Now, right brain thinking, this is all oversimplified for those of you who know about this. It can be intuitive, deal with mystery. It's adventurous, creative, abstract, paradoxical. It loves questions. It can be meditative, deals in feelings. It's wordless, strolling, meandering wilderness. When I get in the car, I got two things in mind. One, to get there, and two, to get there on time. When I have a right brain passenger with me, we've never gone that way before, or isn't that way pretty? I'm really surprised you got here this morning. Right brain thinking can deal with paradox, that is two seemingly opposite things. The most magical place on earth, I think, is the shore. It's not land, it's not sea, it's both sea and land. It's something else. Jesus is human and divine. My left brain doesn't like that. My right brain goes, cool. Even scientists need to be whole-brained. Einstein was, he was obviously a great left-brain thinker, but he played the violin. I want to be balanced. I know a lot of you want me to be balanced. Spiritually healthy. I need to worship and live with both sides of my brain because I believe that God is also found in mystery. And I'm always looking for God. So if that's true, and of course it is, what do I need to kick that other side into action? We've all heard about this left, right brain, whole brain thing, but how does it apply to worship and our journey with God? Church should be the most creative place on earth because of our faith in things unseen. But it sometimes seems that we're trying to have only a left brain understanding of God. I should read the Bible with my left brain because I see the concepts of the kingdom, but also with my right, where I'll get a banquet of poetry that beckons me to be transcendent and co-creative with God. Both sides, whole brain, whole heart. So left brain thinking is much needed in our society, but if I want to search for the Christ, I need to spend more time in the right brain adventure of I don't know. The state of I don't know is the path to I don't know, but I want to be on that adventure. God's unpredictable journey that will take me to I don't know. I don't know. Look, wandering in the desert is not a good rational plan. And the wisdom of Scripture is full of I don't know. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and there the Spirit of God was moving. Mary must have been a little confused. Her infertile womb was barren. God was born there. The tomb was empty. They didn't know what happened, and God redefined death. Job did not know why everything was going wrong. Moses' 40-year, where are we going, desert, was an I don't know wasteland. And Jesus went into that same hollow desert to hear. While the Israelites were in the desert, they were fed with manna, right? And Russ told me this, so it's got to be right, that the word manna is, the meaning of the word manna is, what is this? Manna means, what is this? Jesus taught in parables, and the disciples said, what are you talking about? I don't know. Everything on earth, stars and dust and everything observed with all of our instruments, all normal matter adds up to less than 5% of the universe, they say. They say that 95% is the I don't know universe. Dark energy, dark matter, what we call space or nothingness, has energy. Isn't this annoying? Not knowing? Unfilled time, process instead of product, my left brain starts to hurt. My students never wanted to go through the process, to be confused, to not know the one right answer so they could hurry up and pass the test. But when they were convinced that not knowing was a sign of impending eureka, coming epic awesomeness, their creative juices were loosed, and they reveled in their playful nature, that nature we old ones have forgotten. Unless you become like little children. I learned that first from the Bible, that is full of strange, unknown ideas. Creation from dust, visions, an ark, a flood, a rainbow, docile lions, all of that put me in a I don't know what this means place, right where I needed to be. And I also learned about childhood from Bernie Gannon. Bernie Gannon was my AP English teacher in high school. He was a kind of a Reader's Digest most unforgettable character kind of person. He came in with the same green corduroy coat on every day. He wasn't really into hygiene a lot. And when he moved, it would crackle a little. And he'd come in with pieces of toilet paper on his face where he had cut himself shaving. And he would come in and say, "Good morning, class," or something like that. And a piece of toilet paper would dribble to the floor. And then he would take off on something, just off like Shakespeare stuff. And he would take off on that. And it's like he didn't even know we were in the class. He was so passionate about what he was doing. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the teacher in this classroom right before us was your kind of typical English teacher's kind of rotund and white hair and bun and glasses. And she wrote on the board, do you remember chalk? With chalk on the board. She'd write this with beautiful small cursive writing here and here, writing. Here, all over these boards. And then in the corner she writes, save. She'd like write War and Peace on this board with save. And then Mr. Gannon would go for a piece of chalk and want to write something on the board, and he would wander around a bit looking for any place that hadn't been touched so he could write something. We're just waiting. And then finally he saw a place that had not been touched. He took a fencer's pose and went like that, and whirled around and said, "What is that?" And our left brains were going crazy right then. What does he want? What does he want us to say? I don't know what the one right answer is here. I don't know. And then finally, after a long pause, a smart girl in the back of the class raised her hand and said, "Mr. Gannon, I believe that is a chalk dot." He said, "I'm surprised at you. If I would ask the same question of the kindergarten-aged, they would say, 'That is an M&M. That is the top of a telephone pole. That is an owl. That's a line on its side. It's a squashed bug. It's a center. It's an eye. It's a seed. The beginning of a picture. A mistake. A cigarette butt. A hole to look through. A start. When you came into this educational system, you were little wonderful question marks. I look upon you today, a sea of periods.'" And then he left the class. He just walked out. I forgot how to be a child. I was too busy passing tests to use my imagination. How do we draw the priorities of our time, of our worship life? Too much left, not enough right. That's my whole point. What do we do when we worship God? When we create a worship service, this amazing symbol of the presence of God, how can we find balance? So from now on, you might look for right brain stuff like this. You see, that's instrumental music. It's music without words. When only notes are played, we listeners get to listen like children and jump in and make up what it means to us, because it's not known. No words are telling us what to think. Your right brain will start humming. And to me, that's like prayer. In worship, look for abstract art. Art that doesn't look like anything we've already seen. A place where the Spirit of God is like the cloud of unknowing. I must be open to interpret that kind of art. It's not a picture of a bowl of fruit where I could say, "Hey, I've seen that before." I don't know what that is. Ah, my preconceived notions are empty. I don't know. I get to use my imagination and play and be open and present. Thank you, Sarah. I'm a left-brained person, and so there are a whole lot of people in here who are. And meditation is hard for me, but I want to look for times of silence in worship. If we can get past the uncomfortableness of silence when no one is praying the words for us, but when we take time to empty ourselves and put aside competing to-do lists and worries and hopes and make space for, I don't know, but I want to listen right then. If you think all this is bean sprouty, hippie, weirdo stuff, you're listening with your left brain. Here's a short film clip. It's 3 minutes long. It's a kind of an example of what I'm trying to talk about. When I watch and listen to this, if I can leave behind, what does it mean? I open up and find balletic motion and soulful music that marry into something beyond words. I'm just open and present to the moment. And to me, that feels like prayer. To listen for the word of God as adventure. Put yourself in I don't know situations and be open to the Spirit. Give time for I don't know openness. May we playfully look around a new corner. God is waiting May we breathlessly look for God's mystery. Sit on Jesus' lap and cuddle and listen to God.